This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Indeed.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. It is Thursday. Thank you for joining us for the local talk. You've been listening to Rush Limbaugh and a little bit of news, and now we're back to talk about Salem and Kaiser, Marion and Polk counties. We've got an interesting guest here today having to do with the alternative programs with juveniles who have gotten themselves in trouble. I started my morning at 7 a.m. at the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, Dave, at their public policy meeting.
Ooh.
Always really good topics, really
sounds
good guests.
Riveting.
And, well, for public policy junkies, right? So we had a commander from Marion County Sheriff and the recently retired but still on the job, Jerry Moore, Police Chief Jerry Moore of the City of Salem, again talking about the homeless issue. And it was you know it's a good venue and you know it's a good conversation when two of the county commissioners show up, the mayor shows up, a city councilor shows up, someone running for city council shows up.
Wow.
And a lot of business leaders, because of the topic is so important. And frankly, that's where the community conversation takes place. So hopefully we'll be able to talk about that in coming shows. Right now, however, we have a guest in the studio. We want to talk to Todd Sheldon. He's from Marion County. He works for Marion County is what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
And he works in the juvenile department's alternative programs. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about what happens to some youth who might otherwise maybe get thrown in the slammer and not really learn a lesson. There all are alternatives. Todd, welcome to the studio.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you. You've been working in Marion County for a while, like 28 years?
Yeah, just about 28 years.
Holy cow. And this man, it must be, he's living right because he doesn't look like he could be in the workforce 28 years.
Not even.
So welcome, Todd. Nice to have you here. And now the alternative programs, you're in charge of this thing.
Yes, I'm the program supervisor for the program.
Program supervisor. You've been at this role since 2006. Briefly describe for the listener, what is the program's aim? What do they want to do?
Well, we were originally developed by the Honorable Judge Norblad. And
I remember Judge Norblad.
Yeah, he's the one who started our program.
Huh.
And he wanted something different than just locking kids up. And so our mission is to holding kids accountable, but teaching them skill development, paying back restitution to victims, teaching pro-social skills and decision-making, and along with job training.
So one of the keys here, if somebody goes astray, is really to prevent them from staying astray and prevent them from getting in the system and ultimately, you know, having an unfruitful life that costs taxpayers money and so forth. But really, if we can correct the behavior early enough, then we can prevent those things from happening, right?
That is what we're trying to do.
Awesome. So let's start with, when you talk about youth, you're talking about juveniles. Are we talking about four-year-olds?
No, the youngest age would be 12, and with the majority of them are really more between 15 to 17 years old.
So they've gotten in trouble with the law, they've gone before a judge, and then they're assigned to go into these programs?
Yes, they are ordered to be in the programs.
Mm. So you get this willing volunteer coming in and say, well, I got caught, and now I need to see you, and what do I have to do?
Yeah, right? What kind of... thing has caused them to be in what kind of problem are they in, first of all? I mean, what's the main thing that they've done that they've had to go into this program?
Most of the kids we get in alternative programs have been involved with more than one occurrence with law enforcement. So they're typically going to be getting more involved into the system. And, you know, it's going to range with a lot of thefts, drugs, and have some assaultive behavior as well.
So while they're in the program, they're not incarcerated, right?
They are not.
Yeah.
Most of them are living at home or in our shelter care facility.
Okay. So they're able to try to stay in semblance of a normal life, but also pay restitution, which is a big part of your program as well, right?
Correct.
Well, that's important. That's kind of cool.
And they learn a trade too, right?
Yes, in our fuel program and in our Fresh Start Market program, they're going to learn different trade skills.
So the fresh start market, we were talking about this before the hour came up, and there's a market on Center Street, folks. If you drive by, and there's coffee, and it's you drive by the State Hospital if you're heading east, and it's there on the south side of the street. You can go in and get some great coffee, and that's kind of a work program for some of these juveniles, right?
Yeah,
it's
that's
a store, and it they sell their goods and their services. And
yep, that's part of our more advanced job training where they're learning food services, and that's 3020 Center Street. And they're selling the products that the kids in our other job training programs have made. The building itself was actually built by kids. And then they're also learning the food service skills and marketing and things like that.
Because if you're working in there, you're going to have a food handler's permit and learn about that and learn about the regulations having to do with handling and selling food. You got to learn how to do a cash register and handle money and those kinds of things, right?
Yep, that's what they're learning.
So you say more advanced. Does that mean more advanced in age, or they have shown a certain level of responsibility to advance to this coveted position?
They've shown through other programs that they have the ability and are learning and doing well. They've earned their way to it.
We're talking to Todd Sheldon. He's with Marion County Juvenile Department Alternative Programs. So I'm a 15-year-old, and I've been caught shoplifting now couple of times, and I go before the judge.
I'd say you have a problem.
What's likely to be my next step if the judge reminded me to see your department?
Well, you're going to come see us. We're going to do orientation with you, and we're going to you're probably going to start in our matrix program, which means you're going to do jobs in the community, such as working for the city. We actually work for the city parks. We cut firewood locally. You're going to start out doing those kind of jobs, and then you can earn your way to our actual job training jobs.
Something that's maybe more desirable, and then building skills and so forth.
Correct.
And it sounds like you're therefore building levels of responsibility if they're graduating up.
Absolutely. The better the whole system is set up, so the better they do, the more opportunities they're going to have.
So they start picking up trash first, right?
Yep. They start picking up trash, raking leaves. Like right now, we have some crews. Today, they're raking leaves or chopping firewood.
Nice.
Chopping firewood. That'll keep you warm.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And give you some muscles, too.
We do about 300 cords a year. We actually sell about 300 cords of firewood a year.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive.
Someone's listening right now, and they need a cord. Where should they go?
Well, actually, we're actually sold out for
no
the year.
No way.
Yeah, you actually have to sign up. We send a flyer out in the beginning of July, and you have to get signed up, and then we start delivering in the fall.
Where's the wood come from?
It almost all comes from Salem Kaiser in town from tree services. It's all donated by mostly private individuals or some public entities.
Oh.
Really? So, you mentioned tree services. Like if a private entity, private person has a tree that needs to come down, do they call a tree service and they cut it down and then say, please donate the wood?
They'll have the tree service cut it down, and then they could tell them, hey, we'd like to have this donated to the alternative programs.
Really interesting. How many kids are in the program at any one given time?
And that's, you know, right now we probably have about 30, and in the summer times when there's no school, we'll go up to 60.
Okay.
They get in more trouble then?
No, it's just that right this time of year, we're going to get kids that are having a hard time in school and maybe not able to stay in school or only doing parts of school. So in the summertime, for the youth that have able to maintain school, we're going to double in size because we're going to get all those kids that were at school during the other periods of time.
Mm. Real quick, before we go on our first break, how many kids will enter a program in any given year? I'm trying to get a feel of the magnitude of how many kids are coming through the door.
It's ranged between 600 and up to 1,000.
And so of that 600 to 1,000, what percentage of people really don't do well in the program and end up, with another violation or another arrest and so forth and are no longer eligible to participate?
Well, really, they're going to work with us until they're probably going to not work in the community much longer, and that means they're going to go to the Oregon Youth Authority. Our recidivism rate is, so 70% of our youth will not commit a crime within a year of being with us.
Okay. So recidivism is it's a funny word to say.
Right.
But it does mean how many people end up repeating crime or going back and committing another crime. And so, but 70% of them will not commit a crime within the next year that are in the program.
Correct.
Yeah. I can just imagine somebody's in the middle of the program, but they can't stay on the straight and narrow, and then they get go back into the system, and they're no longer in the program, and they're incarcerated somewhere. All right, we got to take a quick break. We're talking to Todd Sheldon, Marion County Juvenile Department, and we're going to get a handle on what all programs they do and how these kids learn job skills and ready them to support themselves. So stick with us. My name is Brent DeHart, and I'm here with Dave Vorn, and you are listening to 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. We're talking about the alternative programs in the Marion County Juvenile Department. And I want to jump right in here, talking to Todd Sheldon, who runs the program. There are programs that allow these kids that apparently don't have anything better to do, or have challenges in the home, or what have you, or just took a misstep, right?
Or behavior problems.
There's nobody who hasn't taken a misstep in their lives, and some of us didn't get caught or, you know, got lucky or something. But
we got lucky.
There's programs where kids are going to learn job skills, and hopefully that'll play for them to finish their education and go into a workforce with some skills already. So, Todd, we were talking before the hour. Some of this has to do with construction and mechanics. I was surprised a little bit, and welding. And then we're talking just before the break about wood and working with wood and firewood, but you also make crafts of wood, or the kids do, I should say.
Yeah, the kids do all of it. And we actually, from those donated trees we were talking about earlier, we actually mill the wood. The kids actually learn how to run a mill. And so we'll actually create our own lumber that we use. We call it urban recycled lumber because it's really coming from within the city limits of in town here. And then once we create the lumber, then we'll make something out of it. So, for example, right now we have about 8 custom orders for dinner tables, but we make coffee tables. And about anything you can think of, we'll make it. We can make sheds and a lot of different crafts like cutting boards, pizza cutters, and things like that.
Wow. So Todd brought into the studio today, it's a cutout. It's a nicely varnished, beautiful piece of wood cutout shaped like the state of Oregon. That was made, and something like this is a craft that people can buy at the Fresh Start Market, right?
Yep, this is black walnut that was taken down here in Salem, actually from the city of Salem Parks. And it's the state of Oregon cut out on black walnut. And then we are teaching the youth CNC woodworking, and so we actually use the CNC to design some mountains on it as well.
If you're not familiar, a CNC machine is the thing that cuts designs, and what's the other C stand for? It's mechanically, you can program them, and you get to learn a little bit about programming industrial machines because they use these in metal fabrications and wood fabrications and lots of things. Here's my question. I think it's remarkable because you're also teaching welding and you have this construction ability and a CNC. Where'd the equipment come from? Why does a Marion County Juvenile Facility have all this equipment? Did you get donations or was it a grant or?
Actually, the money that we earn from the cells is we get to reinvest into ourselves with. So actually, when we do well on the cell side, then we're able to upgrade to a new piece of equipment that we can train on. Right now, we're trying to get to where we can have a new welding simulator so we can actually teach more kids without even having them doing the welding part first, so they would work on the simulator first. It's a 3D simulator, and then you would move to the stage of actually using the welder. So that's like one of the next things we're trying to move into. So we're able to keep the money that we earn as to help reinvest into new tools and new pieces of equipment.
So one of the challenges in teaching anything is having the teachers to do it, you know, to find. And obviously, I don't think that in your job history, were you a welder at one point? How do you find somebody to teach them to weld?
Well, I actually did teach. I did get taught welding. However, I'm not our master welder or our master craftsman. We're lucky enough to hire people that actually have the skills involved in that. Scott Miranda is actually our master woodworker. He ran his own business for many years in construction woodworking, and we were lucky enough to have him come, and now he's able to teach the kids very nice levels of craftsmanship.
That's cool. So you've got these things. You make tables, find work tables. You have a bunch of them on order already. I had no idea this program even exists. Now we're spreading the word here on KYKN, and probably you're going to have to get more kids in trouble so we can make some more tables. And
right.
Well, we don't hope for that. But.
Well, okay. I could use a new end table. I'm just saying.
Are these based on the level of interest that the kids have when you're sitting down and saying, hey, we think you're mature enough or qualified to go into one of these programs? Would you like to learn some construction skills? Some mechanics skills. I assume you mean auto mechanics kind of thing.
We do auto mechanics. We do small engine repair. We actually fix all of our own equipment. We actually work on all of our own cars. It's to reduce the cost of running government. And so they work on all the cars that we're driving. They work on all the chainsaws and different equipment, and they learn those skills at the same time.
And you were saying during the break that they also maintain the grounds of where the juvenile facility is.
Yeah,
the landscaping.
The Center Street campus, we do all the landscaping on as well.
That's pretty cool. And in terms of utilizing their laborers and making a benefit and lowering costs for government. I like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Does the Fresh Start Market make a profit?
Well, we're not really into it to make a profit, but we are into it for breaking even, for covering our costs. And so the money that we pay out to the victims that the kids earn through us is the money that we earn as well. So when we, let's say we sell this item, that's going to help go for the, to pay the victim to the restitution. And if we have more than that, then that was would go into a reinvestment into some new piece of machinery that we're trying to teach them skills on.
Have you found the public in general, especially the victims of the property crimes or the theft crimes, have been supportive of what you guys are doing?
Absolutely, and we have some of the highest rates of paying back victims in the state.
Wow, in the state. Now, what other counties around us have a similar program?
You know, there's several counties that have programs that are very similar to ours, but we probably have the largest in the state, and most of them have actually come here and looked at what we're doing and started what they're doing from that. So you're going to see Multnomah County has a program that's a lot smaller. It's more into gardening. Clackamas County has more of a gardening landscaping program, but they do some sales for some flowers and things that they grow as well. Polk County is going to have a wood program as well. So we're the largest in what we do, and probably the most advanced in teaching them specifically the more job training skills side of things.
Is that because of the legacy of Judge Norblad and getting an earlier start than other counties have?
I believe it actually is. Because we were the first to start what we were doing, and we've been lucky enough to been able to progress and move forward as times have changed.
How does your department do in terms of the budget in general? I mean, we see the county commissioners out and around the community, and budgets are always a challenge. Public safety budgets are always a very high percentage of the county expenditures. But do you have to compete against the sheriff's department and the jail and parole and probation and so forth? Or have you been pretty good about remaining stably funded?
Yes, we do compete against everybody. I mean, the dollars have to be split up, you know, on what we're dealing with.
But it's got to be cheaper, Todd, to do what you're doing than to incarcerate them, let them out, let them do more crime and incarcerate them, right? That's the whole point. It's cheaper just to keep them out of jail?
It is cheaper to keep them out, and our whole point is if we can keep out of jail or prison, then the long-term benefit, the investment should be substantially greater considering the cost of what it takes if somebody ends up getting into the adult system.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and the programs teaching them life skills that they can make lots of money later down the road. There's a high demand for welders and woodworkers and things like that. We need them for construction.
Absolutely. So we're trying to do that. And the one part we haven't got into it was we also tried to do some COG programming where we're trying to teach them new skills in decision-making as well. So if they're having a problem, we're going to do something what they call like a tapes and counters or pros and cons. And we're going to walk through them what their thought processes were and was there a benefit to them making that decision, or were there cons to that decision? And was it worth making that decision for the cons that you got out of it?
I like it. Yeah, I think all of us parents, we have to raise our kids to do that constantly. And I think some people need more parenting than others. All right, so it's called the FUEL program. They learn woodworking, they learn construction, and they could learn mechanics. They can do welding or CNC machine, industrial machine, to make these crafts. You can buy them at the Fresh Start Market. There's also food and like coffee right there at the market, Center Street, right?
Absolutely, and we have breakfast, and our number one breakfast item is our breakfast burrito. And we have lunch specials as well. I mean, we do make sandwiches and soup, but we actually have a special each day as well. So let's say Thursday today is actually our Hawaiian chicken tacos.
Oh,
and
that sounds good.
I didn't see you bring Dave any.
Yeah, nine. Where's mine?
You're coming in with Brent and Dave with Hawaiian chicken tacos. So around there, you have obviously the state hospital and a lot of medical clinics, and you have some employment base. Do you find a lot of people working in the neighborhood that come by and utilize that? Is that your main customer base?
You know, our main customer base is the community. Staff and state hospital employees do come, but we actually have our largest percent are people who live close by or just coming in, stopping in.
Well, you just made me hungry, so I guess it is the lunch hour.
And right, yeah.
And if we come out, breakfast burritos are fine too. We'll accept those before the show.
Those are always good for lunch.
Noon, sure. And so forth. Let's talk a little bit about community service, and we might carry this over into the next segment, but some people who are not yet... maybe they're at a younger end of that spectrum because you're dealing with kids as young as 12, which is unfortunate, and as late as 18. They need to go into community service, which is not a job paying thing. This is more of a giving back to the community and paying a sentence for your crime, right?
Yeah, that is correct. They are people who are entering the system typically a little bit younger, have not committed as many crimes, and we focus in on working with low-income seniors and disabled.
Low-income seniors and disabled. And what kind of services do they provide?
We do yard work for those who are unable to. And let's say, for example, you might get a city ordinance violation and you qualify, then we will come out and take care of your yard so that doesn't happen to you. And this time of year, we're delivering firewood to them. And they get qualified through the state senior services and disabilities. And if they qualify, we get sent a referral, and then we put them on our list and see how much wood we have. We have to dispense. We have to kind of, you know, budget it out on how much wood we have to give out. But so we'll donate that firewood to them. So that's typically what we're doing this time of year. Or we might be picking up leaves right now, too.
All right. We're talking to Todd Sheldon. He's with Marion County, the Juvenile Department Alternative Programs. We're going to take a quick break. And can you stay for just a few more minutes?
Sure.
And we'll wrap up the conversation here about these kids and how they end up in some of the programs. Hey, this is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich. And welcome back, everybody, to Newsmakers. One of the things we like to do here is expose the listener to things that are happening in the community and things that affect us in our quality of life you may not be familiar with. And I hope I'm asking the questions that you are at, that you want answered. So we're talking to
most of them, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, during the break, we're always continuing the conversation, and we get more information. Dave just asked a really good question of Todd Shelton, Juvenile Department Alternative Programs.
Which one?
Venue. He was asking if some of the kids in this juvenile program are involved in gang activity.
Oh, yeah.
So
I was asking him... does he see a high increase of his of friends that of people that are in the system being drawn back into the gang activity or into trouble again? And he said it's not as big as it was, right?
Yeah, it's not as big as it was, but certainly the peers and their interactions with peers can help them draw back into some of the negative behavior.
How do you combat that? I mean, how do you keep them from falling back into that cycle? I mean, your goal ultimately is, to, of course, to break that cycle and teach them a good
skills and responsibility.
Skills and, yeah. That's the word. That's what I was. Thank you, Brent.
Well, I'd say we have a really good team at the juvenile department, and it's not just one individual group. Probation officers do a great job. They're working with them on trying to prevent those things. We're all doing work with them on some COG programming in regards to what's right and what's wrong. And, the court system with the judge, our detention facilities, our shelter facilities, we're all trying to teach the same skills, and we're always talking to them about trying to make the right choices and not the bad choices, even when their peers try to draw them back in.
So in this juvenile corrections programs, their goals are to pay back the victims So that's nice, paying some restitution. We talked about that a little bit. Develop training skills so they can have an alternative, that they have a sense of involvement and worth, I think, and alternatives for their life. If they have training skills, then they can get a job and so forth. And, of course, to lower recidivism, mm-hmm. lower our crime rate, lower the possibility that our youth are going to – youth who have gotten sideways of the law end up adults in sideways of the law. So those three top three goals hit it about right, Todd?
You nailed it.
All right, let's plug you a little bit. The Facebook page, you have a Facebook page people go to learn more about your Fresh Start Market.
Yeah, our Fresh Start Market is the Facebook page, and it really has, that particular one has a lot of the items that we're making, so it kind of gives you an idea of the things that we're making in the program. It also has some of the food that we have out there, too. But right now, we've been focusing on our urban recycled lumber and the products that we've been making.
So we can go there and shop for some Christmas gifts.
You can at least look at what we have. Uh-huh. We're not up to the speed of where we're selling online yet. I'm actually hoping soon to start selling on Etsy, but we haven't started yet. But you can see what we're making there.
Yeah, some of the samples. And we're radio. We can't see this beautiful piece of black walnut, you said?
Yep.
But that's a kind of a gift item from a
Absolutely.
Craft.
Absolutely.
So, and that helps support the program and helps support the kids pay back to their victims. And
so the
forth.
Best part is to go to the market and buy it from there.
Right now you got to go to the Fresh Start Market.
Yeah.
I'm hoping within 6 months that we're up at least selling our items on Etsy and our lumber on Etsy. And at the market, we'll start selling lumber, including a lot of live edge wood that we'll have.
We were talking before the break about the community services program, and you've got four different programs under your division. And the community services focuses on the seniors and disabled, you said? So here's an example. You mentioned that you might go do deliver firewood or do some yard work for people that need it. So a lot of people are not familiar. Everyone's got one in our neighborhood where that person just doesn't mow their lawn. And the weeds are going out of the street, and they're obstructing the sidewalk, and their grass is unsightly, and so on and so forth. Well, it might be somebody who's not physically capable of doing it.
True.
It might be somebody, you know, just can't do it and get it done.
Or plain lazy.
So
I had a neighbor like that.
Yeah. And there's the plain lazy people. But that might be a referral that ends up in your department, where the juveniles who are... have been court ordered to participate in the community services could go and take care of that, right?
Correct. And, you know, we're not going to hit all those people you just mentioned, but the people who are in the most, have the most issues as far as seniors that are disabled or unable to and qualify, we will certainly try to get them on our list and help them out.
Oh, that's great. And the free firewood. I like that too, mm-hmm. especially this time of year when it's so cold.
You guys should start a free bark dust too.
I got one more question having to do with the job training and so forth. Are you getting collaboration and cooperation from some of the area employers who are willing to take the youth who have some job skills and they're becoming of entering the workforce age? Do you have collaboration there?
You know, that's something that we actually need to work on. We have worked on, but it seems to ebb and flow over the years. And as we have worked a little bit more with Chemeketa as far as moving kids maybe from additional training. But the job market itself and getting employers specifically that have these skills for them is something that is probably the main thing next that we need to develop.
Well, Todd, does your department interact at all with the Near Career Tech High School facility on Portland Road? Because they're doing a lot of the same things that you're doing, except they're doing it with kids who maybe have not been, you know, presumably have not been in trouble with law enforcement yet. But some of the same job skills, and maybe they can get more plugged into being at school and getting that high school diploma.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, actually, we do work with the school, St. Louis Kaiser School District. Our kids in the programs actually do get core credits for being with us. Hmm. It's something we recently worked out within the last year. But we certainly like to develop more relationships, and perhaps the programs you're talking about would be interested in even getting some of our lumber that we're making, and you know, we could probably get them for a pretty good price as well.
I think I heard this, that 40%, I hate saying a statistic that I don't remember exactly.
He's just tossing out there.
But yeah, 67% of all statistics are made up. but it's a very, let's just say it's a very high percentage of people who are incarcerated in our state do not have a high school diploma.
I could see that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I think if you can get kids to stay in the program, stay and finish that basic education, get the high school diploma, and you get a sense of self-worth, and you tack onto that some job skills, they're far less likely to have the recidivism rate. They're far less likely to end up back into a system and back into incarceration.
Why did they use that word? It should be repeat offender.
I don't know who came up with it. Because but you are correct, and we actually do have educational services on campus as well. So a lot of our kids are in our educational services or tied in with the school districts that we have surrounding us as well.
Yeah, the career tech graduation rate is insanely high.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 98% of the people that are in the program graduate, and they stay. So that's great stuff.
So, Todd, one last question for me is, how many out of 10 are actual repeat? And they got to go through the system again or end up in jail.
Well, I mean, based on the stats, you'd say out of 10, you'd have probably around 3.
Maybe.
Within the year, yeah.
Well, that's not too bad. That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, you're making a dent.
Yeah, I mean, considering we are specifically working with high-risk youth.
Right.
So these are the most likely to recidivate again.
This is on top of mind because of the Chamber of Commerce Public Policy Forum this morning. How many kids are coming to the program that do not have a place to live?
Well, we do have ones that don't have a place to live, but we actually have our own facility on campus, which is our GAP program. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of our kids will actually be in it's a shelter care program. It's a short-term residential, so they'll be there for 3 months. They could be up there to 6 months. But ultimately, if they're with us, they're going to have a place to stay. And if they don't have a good home to be in, then they'll be with us and our shelter care facility at the same time.
That is great. Wow. We talk about, you know, that phrase wrap around, and mm-hmm. it sounds like Marion County has taken these youth, at-risk youth, challenged youth, and in trouble youth, and tried to wrap them around with options other than the path they're on. That's good stuff. Todd Sheldon, we want to thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's nice to have you, and he's been around for a while.
I'm
in
this
position
good work,
with the alternative programs for the juvenile department since 2006. And this guy's been around in Marion County, so we'll hold on to him for a little while longer. Todd Sheldon, well, thank you for being our guest and taking some time away from your day at Marion County and talking to newsmakers. So stick with us. We're going to come back. It's been a while since we've heard from Cowboy Ron, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Cowboy Ron and Sergeant Mike are going to tell us their view of the world here coming up on Newsmakers. 1430 KYKN Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. And welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and welcome back to our last segment here at Newsmakers. Thanks for joining us for the noon hour. We haven't seen him for a while, but back in the studio along with Sergeant Mike is Cowboy Ron.
Well, thank you.
Welcome back. You've been out traveling the country and seeing the nether regions of some of the better parts of the country, haven't you?
Yeah, Sergeant and I were just discussing that. And I went in 7 states. I was in the Midwest, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho. As soon as I left Boise, Idaho, my fuel bill went down to about an average of $2.60 a gallon.
$2.60, not bad.
Yeah.
Outside of Oregon.
Outside of Oregon.
By the way, you look sharp. You got this vest on. He's been out there with all the cowboys.
Looking your
best.
You know what? The people in the Midwest, Idaho, when I got to Jackson, Wyoming, it was absolutely incredible. But I got to tell you guys, I missed you guys.
Oh.
I missed you guys on my trip.
You know you can stream
but,
us.
I mean, and people filled me up. But I'll tell you, gracious people, beautiful scenery, and North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming is on fire. You look to the left, and you see 40 coal train boxes moving, and coal's moving, oil pumping as you're driving down the interstate. Trucks and construction projects, just absolutely everything was moving.
Yeah.
The incredible thing, which is hardware stores, Ace Hardware, Runnings Gun Store, Shields Gun Store, back there in North Dakota, the people they wear camouflage clothes. They all got their muck boots on because it's cold, one thing. But these people are moving on their TV, local stations, and radio stations. Hey, deer season opens at noon Friday. And they got a picture of Jimmy Smith with his big buck and his sister Sally with her big old elk that she shot. And there says, if you kids miss school Friday morning, it's already approved.
Yeah. It's just an attitude toward life.
Oh, my God. An A+.
Yeah.
A+.
Wow. You know, so, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, it's nice to see you go back to the heartland and report on how my roots are in Iowa. So I have this attachment to the Midwest, and I kind of resent some of the urban snobbery that our culture tends to have and our political talk tends to have.
Well, the governor, correct. The governor says she doesn't need rural Oregon. Well, I'll tell you what, if she didn't have the Midwest rural, we would be in big trouble.
Don't you know it's all about the big cities, and that's just flyover country.
Oh, no, yeah. The big cities are starved to death.
You know what? I got to tell you, right before we bought the radio station in 1991, I was a national sales manager for our company, and I would go. We had a small plant in Iowa, and I went there, three or four times for a week or so at a time. Small town, that manufactured a certain product, and that is the best pork chops I've ever eaten in my life. They're about an inch thick. They're juicy. And, I mean, I could eat them every night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just I'm really hungry.
Yeah. Oh, just a little restaurant. And
The people back in the Midwest really put it together. The Indian reservations that I went through with the gas trucks or the gas stations, truck stops are filled up, good fresh food, quality, just everything's vibrant and moving. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely incredible. And then you come back here and you get back by the, well, what really intrigued me was coal. Here they got all this coal and energy and it's moving, and these people in Portland don't want a coal port.
Yeah.
Okay, but they will sit by on Burnside in an open-air restaurant and breathe the rubber off the tires and the gas fumes. I don't understand it.
Yeah, there's often a disconnect there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really disconnected. And for them to even view it or look that way is ludicrous.
So I know you are on vacation, you're doing fun things, and you're meeting people who are also doing the things that you love, so it's a little bit slanted, but did you find a bunch of people that were just hating America and really dissatisfied with what's going on?
No. I'm telling a lot of friends, and I came back with a lot of energy, but I
well, we can't tell. You're just sitting about 4 inches off the floor.
Yeah, I'm at attention right now. I had dinner. I had brunches with working people. And again, their only concern was the Affordable Care Act and what they had to pay for insurance. And here we got Mr. Trump just trying to correct that. But Obama buried us. You know, it's costing, it was $300 a month. Now it's $1,300 a month.
Yeah, those costs are, I don't know, nobody seems to have solved that. Hey, let's lower the cost of health care in America, and it just keeps going up and up.
Well, and the doctors and all the professional people are choosing not to become doctors because of what is in their way.
Yeah, and actually, we've talked about that a little bit if you could graduate another, 40,000 doctors or nurse practitioners or physician's assistants, and you have more people providers, then that changes the whole landscape in supply and demand. But America hasn't started a new medical school since, I think, the 70s.
Yeah, I think that if we can get Mr. Trump, get him elected for another term, let him do his job. But there's a little point I want to make out, and this just was ringing a bell. Pelosi's been in there for 28 years. Biden's been in there for maybe 20 years, maybe more. I don't know about Joe Biden. I got a couple things to comment about him. But Mr. Trump, my dear Mr. Trump, my president, has been there 33 months, and he's the cause of everything that's wrong. And citizens, you know, open your eyes. This guy is absolutely putting the United States on fire. You can read and look at the news, and he's telling a representative from another country that you are off base. You are not correct.
On TV.
You're not fair. Yeah. And so this guy, and if that was somebody else, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, so I can't wait to hear what your thoughts on Mr. Biden.
Oh, my gosh. Do I have a little time?
You opened that can right there.
Okay. Well, Mr. Biden, this is probably one of the naughtiest guys in the world. But old Biden's sitting up here. If they go after Trump deeper, then Biden's going to come out. He's a crook. And if you want to go back to the Obama era, go back and look up James Biden. He's Joe Biden's brother that took care of the construction money that we sent to Iraq, $1.5 billion. We built houses in Iraq and gave them that aid. And Mr. James Biden worked into the company as a superintendent or a control person that knows nothing about housing. Sounds like Hunter and James have something in common.
Yeah, Joe. They got Joe in common.
They got Joe, they got James, and Hunter. But man, I'll tell you what, there's something rotten here.
So, Mr. Biden, Vice President Biden, he's going to be the nominee, you think?
I know. Mike, Sarge, you comment about that. Go ahead.
I think that they needed to get somebody that wasn't super wacko in there, and I think that's why Bloomberg's in there. They've got to put somebody with some stability and a good track record. Now, I know he's been a Republican and a Democrat and an independent, but he, in my opinion, I think that was a good move on their part, just for some stability, because there's so many people running away from the wacko, and they got to keep the blood from, stop the blood, the bleeding.
Sergeant Mike, do you think that Bloomberg is a bigger threat to Trump than any of the other Democrats in the field?
I think he has a better chance of winning.
He has money.
He has money, but he'll put a good campaign together. If he can get the nomination, I think he has a 50-50 chance.
Wow.
Yeah, he wants to take the guns away.
Yeah, well, it's hard to
gun control.
It's hard to unseat a sitting president, incumbent president. We saw it. We've seen it happen in our lifetime, obviously, when George Bush was beaten by Clinton. But there was, and I just heard some evaluation on this, on how many things had to be in place for all those things for that eventuality to happen.
And I do think the good's going to come out of Trump if they go forward. This guy's doing things.
All right. Hey, that is Cowboy Ron back in the studio with us. He can come visit with us about once a week. He's been out traveling the nation, came back to tell us his view on the world, along with Sergeant Mike. Thanks for being here on Newsmakers. We're going to do this tomorrow. We've got some great guests, and we'll have Mary Louise as well talk all about our December.
Thank you.
This is 1430 KYKN.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.